Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Inactivity yesterday?
Yeah, you're right. You don't just have to do them yesterday. You know, you gotta, we were talking about it earlier, it's not a store where you can just go in and say, hey, I'll pay $20 and I'll take this player, or I'll take, you know, it takes two to be able to do it. And so, yeah, we're competitive. We're always trying to, not just on the trade deadline, we're always looking. You know, we've made, I think, the Amari trade last year. We didn't make it on the deadline. We made it prior to. So we've been looking, having conversations. A lot of those conversations, Jay, people, if they're still seeing how their season's going to go, like several weeks back. And quite frankly, a lot of the conversations are, no, we're not going to move them, we're not going to move them. And then sometimes at the last minute, they agree to move them. Sometimes they stand pat. And you can look, and there's rumors out there, this person's available, that person's available, but then they're not necessarily available, and they don't get moved. And so I'm sure you guys have done it, scroll all the names are available versus all the names that got traded. The list is this long of available. The list is this short that actually got moved. And so you've got to be willing to find a partner that is willing to do business. Now, we also have a cap. I can't take a $15 million contract and do that, you know, with where we are in the cap. So there are constraints, just like when we go into free agency and I try and warn, hey, we're not going to have but so many dollars. We're not going to be fishing in the deep end of the pond, so to speak. But yeah, I'm still trying to work. There's conversations of, can you eat money? Which those deals had to be done. If they were going to change their contract, that had to be done Monday at 4. You can't, you know, it's one of the things I wish the league would fix, is where you can do, some leagues allow you to do that, a sign and trade. So there were certain players after 4 o'clock Monday that I could no longer do. Another part of that is we had a couple of conversions with a couple of our guys to give us a little bit of money to possibly get a few more options once we realized some of them were out of play for us Monday due to our cap. We did not do those, but we had them ready to turn in. You are allowed to do that if we were able to consummate a deal. Unfortunately, it takes two to tango, and we tried on quite a few, and a lot was just, yeah, we're not moving them, and some was, you know, we ran into, you know, a couple teams in our division were trading and you know, couldn't get a lot of interest there.
Right or wrong, people are going to view this as a belief on your part that you have a championship roster, because that's what the goal is here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an accurate assumption?
Yeah.
What gives you that belief?
We're 6-2, and I've been to the Super Bowl a couple times. I've seen us be in AFC championship games. You don't you don't get to AFC championship games without having a championship roster. And I know what that looks like. I mean, without going through position by position of where we're at. Now, we can only afford so many injuries. We can trade for five all pros, but that doesn't guarantee you're going to get them injured. I mean, we traded for Amari last year, and he dinged his wrist up to the point it needed a cast for weeks. And, you know, it's not easy. You know, we try and build this roster to not need a trade, okay? Because these guys are learning the playbook, especially at a wide position of wide receiver. They're learning that all spring, assuming you got them in the spring or you've had them before. And that playbook is being built up, and then game plans are pulled off of that each week by your opponent. And so it's not as easy as, hey, trade for player receiver X, drop him in, and he's just going to run with the rest of them. They're out of, like, the two-minute packages. They're out of certain parts of your game plan just because the volume. Otherwise, you would take the whole – if you made the other 10 players have to come down to their knowledge of the playbook, you'd kind of limit what you can do offensively. So there are certain positions that it's easier to plug a player in, and some are a little harder. Those are all – part of it. Doesn't mean we wouldn't do it. We've obviously traded for receivers before, and you know, I've been here, this is season 9, right? We're usually very active. I'm always active. We put a lot of work in. Sometimes you look back at, you know, when you go home last night and feel like, damn, that was a waste of time. You know, now it's not all. Some of these guys that we're really grinding on the last couple weeks, some of them will be free agents at the season's end, so you kind of get a jump on how you view them and whether you have interest. But the trade deadline's hard because you're trying to be, what is the fit? What is their mental capacity? You know, you see talented players that have been in systems for years and it took them a little time to get going, but now they're rolling. But that doesn't mean you can drop them right in your system and they pick up right kind of where they left off.
Monday and Tuesday,
were there any deals where you might have been able to get across the finish line if you would have given up maybe more than you wanted to pick-wise or anything like that? Because I think that's one thing where fans are talking about, like, give as much as you can to get this player, X player, X player. Were there any of those situations, or was it more about the teams just not wanting to make that player available?
I mean, listen, any player is available at a certain price, Matt. Like, other than... I mean, unless you're trading for their franchise quarterback or, you know, maybe, you know, Cleveland, you know, Miles Garrett. But, like, most any player, 99% of the players are available for a price. You saw that yesterday with some talented players, you know, in our division getting moved. But you also have to understand we have a salary cap and we have to hit on these picks. So, yeah, I mean – my job is to not be reckless with this role. And it's easy to say. It's not fantasy football. It's not. And fantasy football is awesome for what all it brings to our game. But this is not fantasy. There's so many things, ramifications of cost and draft picks. And if you trade for a $25 million player, if you have an extensive knowledge of our cap and where it's at, not just in 26, but 27, 28, you're forcing yourself into a really tough position here in a couple years. And so those also are part of the format. It doesn't mean we wouldn't do it, but you also have to say, if you do that, you can have them for probably 26 if we, you know, kick the can down the road a little bit more, but it's come and due. Where you're going to have to walk in there and I have to tell you, yeah, we had to trade this player we really like. Yeah, we had to release this player that we like. And so you can't make decisions in a vacuum or in a silo. They all have long-term effects. Yeah, I went home as mad as any other fan or as mad. Like, I wanted to do things. I'm always wanting to do things to make this team better. And, listen, there may be a player or two this week. We added – Jordan Phillips played for us, made plays in the AFC Championship game for us last year. He was not on our roster at the trade deadline. Like, I ain't giving up, but I also believe in our roster, too. And to Jay's question, I do believe we can win a championship with this roster. And I build it, and we build it in the spring and through the summer. We're trying to, when we cut the 53, I want at that point have the best team. I don't really want to need the trade deadline. But I'm always going to look, and if we're injured somewhere or we think there's a piece that is a clear upgrade, a seamless transition, and we've shown that. We've done that year after year. We've made moves that we can. But as I said earlier, I cannot force someone to trade me a player. It takes two. And there are guys that I'm looking, I'm like, man, I would think that guy might be available. He's going to be a free agent, and their team's not doing well, and maybe they would want to draft cap, and they are standing pat. So, yeah, go ahead.
I don't know what the conversations were regarding wide receiver yesterday, but now that it's gone, do you consider Gabe Davis the option if you need to upgrade your wide receiver? Is he the guy that you're looking to, and why you even signed him in the first place back here?
Yeah, I mean, Gabe, it's been fun to watch him for, you know, even before he started practicing last week, Sal, you know, when we signed him, he was clearly injured still from his surgery last year in Jacksonville. And it's a long rehab process. And he, you know, while he was running, he wasn't nearly ready to play football. He's worked his tail off to get where he's got, honestly, maybe quicker than I thought necessarily to play football. And I thought last week he had a nice week. Now he's still working through it, and we got to make sure it's new from running in a pool, running on the field, to actually suiting up, cutting, DBs pushing on you, all that stuff. So we're still working that out. But Gabe, when Gabe is Gabe, I mean, he signed a nice free agent deal. He had a lot of success here. So, of course, if we think there's at the right time, of course, we would look at that as an option for us.
I know you've had some unfortunate injuries to your rookie class, but what you've seen from Max, what you've seen from the guys on defense especially, how much does that give you belief that you do have the depth on that side of the ball? And just in terms of where you project them to be, not right now, but several weeks from now when you're getting ready for playoff football?
Yeah, I mean, it's been good to see Max get out there and have success, and the smile on his face can make everybody excited to come to work. I mean, he's just so genuine. But what a tough deal he had, and he's going to get better. It's not all going to be perfect. He's facing some tough players. He's going to have tough matchups this week, but and to come. So he's still a rookie, a real, real rookie. He's barely played a full game, maybe, if you add up his total reps in two games. TJ did some good things to work on. Obviously out right now, hopefully to get him back here real soon. He's eligible next week, so fingers crossed, we'll see what that looks like. Landon's working hard and is doing well. The special teams piece kind of sometimes comes in at the end there, but he's coming, and you know, getting Hoyt back was really good. Probably was hurting his opportunities, so you know, he'll get some opportunities down the stretch to step up, you know, with that injury. And Deion's done some really good things for us as well, played a lot of snaps, started games, you know, and he'll continue to get better. Hancock's played in there. Jackson Hall's Dorian Strong was really doing well. You know, that's a tough one, losing him. And so probably leaving somebody out. Chase Luntz been up for a game, been a backup. But yeah, I mean, they're still young. It's hard as a rookie in this league. But I think, you know, you like where some of these guys are trending, and we're going to need them, you know, down the stretch, even without injuries. But, you know, the injury bug has hit us here a little bit this season. And so I'm knock on wood. Hopefully that's coming to an end.
Those lines, Brandon, do you view the injury list the way that it is, but with the knowledge that at some point you're going to be getting these guys back, ideally? Did that maybe factor into your thinking yesterday in terms of, I'm not going to force something here because we know 2, 4, 6 weeks down the road we're going to have this guy back?
Not really. I'm just looking at it. If there's a piece that makes sense for us, you know, if to your question, if I think a guy's coming back in a month, because I'm always looking at someone else could go down, and competition brings out the best in all of us, whatever our profession is. And so, no, if it made sense, I was trying to do it. I mean, candidly, I would have lost money yesterday on the Bills doing a move. Like if you were in Vegas, I know we're not supposed to talk about gambling, but yeah, go ahead.
You're trying to make a deal. Did the way your team's played the last 2 weeks impact your thinking at all, obviously, especially coming off the Chiefs game?
Well, the way they were playing made me even looking harder. Like, is there, like, we're trying to win this thing every year, and that's, I don't want to walk into a year, though, and that's what I've always tried to explain to you guys, of getting crazy with some of the contracts that you can take on, and people, you know, will go out there and say, well, you could convert these nine guys down and do this, but no, we're trying like heck, and you know, the way we played is what we want to be playing down the stretch. Still got a long way to go. We're halfway there, I guess, but no, I think that if anything, Mike, that sparked even more like competitiveness to find any way. And listen, we're not, like I said, we're not done. Things happen down the stretch. Players still can get released. There can be an injured player that's rehabbing that's available. We'll continue, you know, to find ways. But yeah, no, I was looking hard. You know, our staff worked hard, and you kind of, like I said, you feel like, damn, wasted, you know, a lot of time here trying to make something happen.
Brandon, what's your confidence level on getting Ed Oliver back at some point late in the year, maybe even before the playoffs?
I know it's so early, Josh, with that just happening. It's a, you know, we dealt with that with Matt Milano a year ago when he did it in camp. So it's so far down the road, it's hard to, you know, I can't really tell you. I mean, we're going to leave that option open, you know, and be hopeful and optimistic. And I know Ed wants to get back, and it stinks. You know, I think we got 2.5 games out of him, and he had a great camp, and it's just, you know, and played well. What do you have, 2 or 3 sacks in those games? So it stinks, but we'll try and hold the fort down with what we have, and I think the guys played really hard and really, really good last week, the first game without him, and we're going to have to continue that. It can't just be a one-week thing. Can you back it up this week? Can you back it up again the weeks to come? And then I think once you get to January, hopefully we've done enough to get ourselves in the postseason, then you start looking and saying, okay, is he 1 week away? Is he 3 weeks away? What does it look like? And I think that's a better question for probably, you know, closer to the new year.
There used to be a time where trade deadline passed and I kind of didn't even notice the deals didn't get made in the NFL. There's been more over the last 10 years or so, but you see yesterday, big names getting moved, a lot of activity. A, kind of your overall thoughts of why that happened, I guess, or why that is happening now versus in other years. And B, were you surprised by a lot of stuff that happened?
Yeah, I mean, I would say some of the moves were like, interesting. But some of them, a lot of them made sense, you know, and I think there's definitely a faction of, you know, the GMs are coming in younger, and there's more have played true fantasy football and stuff like that, and they're growing up in a world of trades. But I think it's all, you know, what is the direction of the team, where you're at? Like if you're a seller, you know, are you missing a quarterback? Are you missing some key pieces that you've gone down this road a few times and you're not feeling like you're getting over the hump, whether that's to get to the playoffs or whether that's to advance in the playoffs. And so you then say, well, all right, maybe we need to look at this and reset a little bit. So you understand some of that. But, you know, there were some aggressive moves on both sides yesterday. And, you know, it's like the draft. You know, analyzing who wins and loses these things, you can't at that time. It's how it plays out. You know, how do you use the player or players that you acquired this year, and if you have them under contract for future, and then how do you use the assets of picks, you know, in the draft, do those pan out to be, you know, we always look back and say this player ended up being traded for these four guys and they all turned out really good or they all stink. You know, it's that's how we're all evaluated.
The offense is running more three tight end sets than ever before. Is this kind of a role you envisioned for Jackson when you guys drafted him?
Yeah, I mean, we were excited that he what he could do, and he's, you know, he's, I would say, early on exceeded expectations, which is a credit to him to be able to jump in and play as much early in the season. By now, I thought he would, but as a rookie, it's so much volume and for those guys to learn and to do what he did and to be able to block some of the really good ends in this league one-on-one. I think he's shown he can do it. And I think it's, you know, I'm always trying to, when we're building this thing as a staff, trying to give Joe Brady and Josh Allen as many different ways to match up, because each week you look at it every week, you're like, how did that team beat that team? And sometimes it's turnover the ball, but sometimes you just match up better against certain teams, and sometimes you're like, man, we're usually finished better in the standings than this team, but we struggle to match up against them. So on both sides of the ball, trying to give us as many different ways to win. Do we need it to be a slugfest in the weather here? Do we need to spread them out and, you know, go vertical? Do, you know, how many different ways can we attack an opponent that we're going to face? Because, as we said, each week is truly a new week. Tell me who we have, tell me who they have, and how we're supposed to. That's one of the conversations we have on Monday, Tuesday, and Sean has it with the team, how we win. There are some common themes to how we win, protecting the ball and things like that, but there's other things that we have to do if we're going to beat this team versus next week's team.
How would you evaluate the wide receiver play about halfway through the
season? I think it's been good, John. I mean, you know, everyone, that's a hot button, I know. I saw you smiling when you asked the question. I'm not going to get a rise out of it. No, I think it's game plan specific. You know, I mean, there are some games we've been running the ball, and, you know, we want to establish the line of scrimmage. We want to run the ball. Yes, we want our receivers to be. When we have to win games throwing the ball, we need them to step up. I include, you know, our tight ends to a degree in that, and maybe a little bit running backs. Like, there's different ways you can attack in the passing game, you know, who is technically a wide receiver. You know, I think those guys, I mean, without going through them individually, they've all done things at different times. Some of them want more opportunities. They want to help the team win. And they're going, man, I had three targets today. I had four targets. I'd love to have more. I'm glad we won. I want to help. But, every week that will continue as, you know, how teams play us down the stretch. Do teams, if we continue to run the ball well, the goal is you make them bring another safety down there, and now we've got more room to throw the ball. If they're going to stay in two-eye shell, hopefully our run game is working, and we want to be balanced and play, you know, play complementary football.
This is the first year where you're not going to make any trades after the draft. I'm assuming the real explanation is unique situation after unique situation, but is there any connective tissue about why it went down that way this year?
Connective tissue on why we didn't make a trade?
Not a single trade after the draft this season for your team. First time you've done that.
I got you. No. I mean, we've had conversations. It's got to fit within the cap and, you know, what you need. I mean, when we were at the 53 cut, releasing guys and doing all that, I would say we had more calls on guys that on our roster would we move that we were willing to move than really looking for guys. As some injuries occurred or things like that, since, you know, the season started to yesterday, there have been conversations, and sometimes you're watching how another team's season is playing out. If a player's not feeling utilized or whatever situation, you're monitoring every situation, you're checking in. Most of the time, a lot of those are taking it down to the deadline to see how their team does as late as they can in the season, and also see if they can drive up competitive value. Like maybe today I'm calling on a position and we're the only team calling, but 3 weeks later some other teams have had injuries or something's happened and now they're calling, you know, for the same position, which is going to, for that selling team, drive up their return of, you know, the value of the player.
Specifically about one of those wide receivers, though I know John asked about the group. Keon, how do you feel like this season has gone from him from your perspective?
Yeah, I think Keon, the microscope is on Keon. I get it. Like, he's drafted high second round, and so you're naturally going to put a lot of pressure on him. You know, I would say there's been some good things, and there's things he can continue to do better. I think he has taken another step this year. That doesn't always show in targets or production, things like that. There's a lot of different things, whether what he's being asked to do. He's playing within the offense. I think he has shown maturity of how he can help our offense even away from the ball and in the run game and things like that. But I think he's catching the ball well. I think there's times he's been open, but the ball doesn't come to him, which is it's no shot on. Sometimes that's the progression of that route too. And he wants the ball. He wants his opportunity. He's working hard. He's not complaining. Receivers, tell me a receiver that doesn't want the ball. You know, been in the league 28 years, they all want it. But these guys as a group are all trying to help the team win, and that's Keon's attitude. I think everyone just needs to let it play out and stop trying to evaluate every snap with him. Just let's evaluate it at the end of the season where he's at after 2 years. We talked about him last year after 1 year. I think he has improved on those things. He had an excellent training camp, excellent first game. We got to running the ball a little bit, and then, you know, there's just been some games more opportunities than others, but we'll need him down the stretch if we're going to get where we're trying to get to.
Whether it's Keon Coleman or any number of the young players you mentioned on defense, to what extent does the outcome of this season rely on the continued improvement and adaptation of those players to the National Football League level and continuing to get better through the course of the season?
Which players?
We mentioned all the guys who are in first or second year. Prominent roles either because of circumstance or injury.
No, great question. You know, second-year players by now, they know how the league works. They're well into year two. Like, we're counting on those guys like they've been here 4 or 5 years at this point. We do a lot after year one, like what does your offseason look like? How do you get yourself prepared? It's your first time preparing, leaving one NFL offseason and preparing for another one because the previous was the draft or college. And so we do spend time with those guys, getting them all the way to training camp. But once they come out of camp and now halfway through year two, we expect them to know everything that's expected. And year one guys, you'd like to, by, you know, December, late December for sure, when you're winding down those games, they've played a whole college season and then some. You're hoping for them to not be looking at some of the players that I was asked about earlier as rookies, because the games are going to get bigger as long as we put ourselves in position, you know, here the next month or two to play in January. And so, yes, we will count on first and second year players even more as the games can get bigger.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.